everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
There's a plague going around the NBA. The bubonic plague is what Worldwide Wob Rob Perez coined it. So when you got the ball at the end of the clock, you don't want you give it to your teammate. What type of teammate would do something so disgusting to pass that off onto another teammate? What type of people are out there? Let's go around the horn. Hey.
Wow.
Really nice, generous people, apparently. By the way, Mina's sick because she never stopped working. They got to 8-0, but they were only 3 points better than Arizona. Jimmy Garoppolo threw 4 touchdowns, but Richard Sherman says it was humbling to let up 25 to the Cardinals. Mina Kimes, first out of the gate to you. Did San Francisco show you more or less with the Thursday night win?
I think they showed me something, especially on offense, because so far this season, Tony, the offense, in particular Jimmy Garoppolo, has been the question mark on this team, not the defense. Actually, halfway through the season, he had barely more touchdowns than interceptions. His advanced metrics were not that great, but last night he won that game. So far this season, Jimmy's only averaged about 2.5 points completion percentage above what's expected according to Next Gen Stats. Last night, it was over 7. He was excellent. Now, going forward with linebacker Quan Alexander out for the season, the defense is a concern. But last night, it was all about the
offense. Sarah Spain?
Yeah, I mean, look, we expected this probably to be a bigger deficit or a bigger win for them, but they've never beaten the Cardinals under Shanahan, and they haven't beaten them, period, since 2004. So this has, for some reason, been a bugaboo for them. I'm not concerned about whether the defense struggled and more than expected, because as Mina said, what we're worried about going forward in terms of postseason and how they can actually contend with the best teams in the league is that offense. Jimmy Garoppolo, career high rating in passer rating, career high in touchdowns. They actually passed more than they ran for the first time this season and still got a W. So I take away more positives than negatives from last night.
Okay. Same question to you, Israel. Do they show you more or less?
Well, obviously the Cardinals sold out to stop the run. And what do you need to do in that situation? You need your quarterback to win the game for you, essentially, right? He didn't do it in spectacular fashion. He did it in efficient fashion. I would even say they're probably more difficult throws than you even recognize, where George Kittle says, man, he made some gutsy throws out there and gave you a goodness gracious just to top it off. Like, I do think that Jimmy Garoppolo is more than the quarterback he has shown so far. He's just been doing enough. But in terms of the defense, I think you might want to give the Cardinals some credit here, because watching that offense early on in the season, a lot of people, maybe some people, thought it would be kind of a mess. Kyler would be running all over the place, and it would look like a college offense in the NFL. It's looking a lot better lately, and, you know, the San Francisco 49ers obviously struggled against it, but I want to give the Cardinals some credit there in Kyler Murray.
KB, same question to you. San Francisco show you more or less?
They showed me more in going to 8-0. I think people touched on it. Garoppolo, first time he threw for 4 touchdowns. But you know what I look at? I look at the fourth quarter. I look at when this game became tight. I look at the fact that the 49ers offense had to salt this thing away. And on third and long, Garoppolo went back and found Emmanuel Sanders for 16 yards. Had another third down where he had to pick it up. They were able to do that and win this game with his arm. And let's not forget, here's a guy who's, what, 12 months removed from surgery.
Yeah.
Looks like he's starting to get healthier now and maybe get a little bit of that mobility back. So it's nothing but up for the 49ers going
Mina,
forward.
The strength of this team has been the defense, though, as you said, and the front seven specifically, and now an injury there. But they do have depth. My question is, how much of the defense is the defense, and how much of it is that they faced Jameis Winston, with Andy Dalton, Mason Rudolph, Baker Mayfield. There's a Keenum in there. There's a Kyle Allen. And last night, the rookie, Kyler Murray.
Yeah, well, Murray was excellent, so he was probably the best quarterback they've played at this point. But you're right. Opposing offenses do matter, but Football Outsiders DVOA stat does account for the quality of opponent, and they still got them as one of the best defenses in the NFL. I think they are just that good. I do think the Alexander injury, though, is huge, Tony, and it's going to be a massive problem. Because that's not an area of depth for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Linebacker.
Just a quick add, you throw out names, including guys like Kyle Allen, who up until that 49ers game was threatening to set the longest streak ever
for
a quarterback coming in without a pick, and they ate him up. Yeah. So sometimes those guys can look good against other
teams. We were talking off air about Jimmy Garoppolo and Aaron Andrews. Everyone in this panel, but also Mina and Sarah specifically. You guys heard that, Mina. Sarah, you both said if this was nothing for you. Sarah, you can address that first.
Yeah, it just kind of felt like the colloquial baby, right? Like, this feels good, baby. Not, I'm calling you baby, so I shrugged at it.
I read it the same way. Obviously, we all try to be conscious of that in these interactions, but I don't think that was his intention.
We'll move on. Sunday Night Football. Patriots Ravens. New England's defense. That defense. Versus Lamar Jackson. Sarah Spain, you get first crack at this. What do you see as the greater strength that's tougher to game plan against? New England's defense or Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, let me start off by saying that Lamar Jackson is obviously impressive. Entering this week, he had more rushes than seven teams on his own. So this is clearly a different kind of beast for this Patriots defense that is setting records all over the place. That being said, it's got to be Bill Belichick, who is the guy behind this defense, calling the plays now, which might account for the difference in their ability this year. They do a lot of blitzes, though, a lot of zero blitzes, and they do a lot of man. And that'll be interesting to see if they're willing to have their guys turn their backs on a guy like Lamar Jackson, if he can get past the blitz and eat up all that open space with those guys buried in the secondary. So I just think it's going to be fascinating, but I'm never going to bet against Bill Belichick, even with a guy like Lamar Jackson out there.
That's some good information on the Patriots defense and Belichick calling plays. I heard that earlier this week somewhere. On the Daily with Mina Kimes. You got to cite your source a little bit, Sarah. Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
I'm excited about what Lamar Jackson can do, but it's because we've seen Bill Belichick and the Patriots do this to young quarterbacks over and over again. 21 straight starts, 21 straight wins against first or second year quarterback. But Lamar Jackson has that different element to him. And when, you know, if you really want to nitpick, if you want to get critical on Lamar Jackson, it's, hey, is he reading defenses right? Because I think accuracy he's a little bit more accurate than people expected him to be. But just being able to read defenses, this is going to be the ultimate test. And you could argue in reverse for Bill Belichick, because the dynamic that Lamar Jackson offers is the ultimate test for him so far. And if you look at the list of quarterbacks that Patriots have played, it hasn't been very impressive. So I don't even know which side I'm picking right
here. Yes, it's pretty clear to us, actually, Israel Gutierrez. Maybe Kevin Blackstone has an answer to the question. What's the tougher game plan, a defense like that or a quarterback like that?
It's going to be the quarterback like this. You walked right into it, Izzy, talking about the list of quarterbacks that the Patriots have had to face this year, which has a huge impact on how good their defense is. I mean, they may have played one top-line quarterback this year in Roethlisberger at the beginning of the year. Other than that, they've gotten backups, has-beens, and wannabes. And this time they're getting Lamar Jackson. We know what he can do with his legs, and he's going to be forced to do it with his arm this time. But this is going to be a real test for Lamar Jackson on that defense. I want to see what the Patriots can do with a legitimate guy back there who's a threat.
Mina Kimes.
This is an excellent matchup. I think it's a steeper challenge for Lamar Jackson, and here's why. Bill Belichick approaches every game like nothing before matter, right? Sarah pointed out some of their tendencies on defense, but in the Super Bowl last year, they played man all year, switched to zone. This is what they do, and I expect them to do something similar with Lamar. Yes, they will take away the run, but it's not just going to be stacking the box and making him throw. I wouldn't be surprised if they use a ton of deception, try to fool him with the pass rushes, maybe try to get him to fumble, which is something he does. Mm-hmm. It's going to be an exceptional showcase for Bill Belichick.
Let's check back in with Israel Gutierrez. Maybe he's closer to answering the question. Nope. Okay. Israel, make a pick for us here on the game, at least. So I have somebody to mute when we get back
I'm
to work.
I'm taking the Patriots.
You got the Patriots, KB? How about you?
I'm taking Sarah the Patriots.
Spain?
Patriots.
Mina Kimes.
It's the pass.
Something that could have been brought to my attention earlier before we started this whole argument. Let's go. Move on. Headline 3. Cam Newton. Oh boy, Cam Newton to see a foot specialist. Ian Rappaport, reporting that Cam's foot is not getting better. Quote, playing football is a long way off. Israel, are you starting to think you may never see the old Cam Newton again?
I mean, I think a lot of people were having this discussion before the Lisfranc injury, but if we're just talking about this one in particular, no, I am not ready to say that a 30-year-old quarterback who's suffering from a, you know, confusing Lisfranc injury is done, that we're never going to see him reach his potential again. He's still in that sort of prime range in his years, so if he can handle the foot injury, I don't know what's going on with his foot, but if they figure it out and he comes back healthy, yeah, absolutely.
Devin Blackstone?
Return. Pretty close to this.
You know, the two sports that produce this injury the most by far are rugby and football. It's because of cleats and the way that people cut. And it puts a lot of pressure on that mid part of the foot. A study at the University of Pennsylvania Med School a few years ago just on that injury within the NFL found that 93% of the people come back from that injury within 15 months and suffer no statistical drop off from where they were before.
Wow.
So I'm going to bet that Cam Newton fits in.
I don't even know what to say, doctor. I mean, you're a professor, you're a doctor. I don't even have the right filter to give you. Here's money, because every time I go to the doctor, it costs me money. Mina Kimes, how about you?
I don't think we're going to see the same Cam Newton this season, but I also think that could be a good thing, Tony, because too often Cam Newton has played through injury through the course of his career. He needs to take the time to get healthy. It's a shame because they've got a great defense, but I think he would benefit.
Well, let me tweak the question for you just a little bit, Mina. Could this be the end of Cam Newton as a Panther?
I think after what we saw from Kyle Allen last week, the calls for him to challenge Cam Newton have been quieted a bit. So, no, I think he will come
back.
And
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're forgetting that last season before the injury, he was putting up some of the numbers that were the best of his career. Now, that was before the shoulder, that was before the Lisfranc, but those both injuries are not ones that we necessarily would presume to end a career. I think what's happening is they're happening on top of each other. It's giving us this long stretch without getting to see him at his best. I think Mina's probably right. It might not be this season, but if he's given enough time to fully heal and not rush back, I think he can get back to where he was before.
You know, Blackiston, you gave us the entire genesis of these injuries, or the two sports, it was rugby and it was football. The other is equestrian and horse riding, because that's the genesis of this injury, right? Does anyone want to tell us the story of the great Lisfranc? He was a surgeon in Napoleon Bonaparte's army, and he was the one to do a surgery similar to this, because so many people in the cavalry were riding the horses, falling off a horse, and that's how that break in the bone happens. You guys didn't know this? Maybe this was like a dream of some guy. Taking a break right here, buy or sell next. Tom Brady on Halloween night. You guys see this? Tom Brady's picking a bone with Peyton Manning. Yeah. Call him old bone bag. Yeah.
It is.
We'll be back. Buy or sell next.
Trash talk, a retired player.
Somebody was paying attention in equestrian class at Fordham.
Paying attention? That's
equestrian class?
Buy the long class.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Two games each for Joel Embiid and Karl Anthony Towns. No games for noted peacemaker Ben Simmons. Mina Kimes, buy or sell?
I'm on Ben Simmons, the peacemaker.
You are.
As Shams Charania tweeted, he was just trying to calm him down with his arms. I'm selling the two games. After Brandon Ingram got four last year, I would have thought that they would have gotten at least that much.
Sarah Spain?
Yeah, in my history of calming things down, I've never tried to do the old chokehold as the means by which I would calm things down. I think, actually, I would like to see more for Joel Embiid. I really thought the way that he carried on after the fight was broken up made it seem like a joke to him, and then all the social media stuff after, I think they needed to make a bigger statement.
Israel Gutierrez?
Yeah, I think the Ben Simmons part, maybe he should have gotten some sort of a fine or something, because we suspend people for stepping
on the court.
The bench,
yes.
Be peacemakers in that situation. So I definitely think there should have been something there.
Blackstone.
Well, he should have gotten a point from the takedown and then another point for getting him to tap out. You saw that Cat was slamming his fist on the floor there. A bad look for the NBA. Come on, suspend everybody a few games. We know.
But I'm with you, Sarah, just the way, and I'm here for it. I like pettiness But just the idea that we're amping it up after the fight and ramping it up after the fight. You know, hockey has a Lady Bing Award for sportsmanship. I guess Ben Simmons is going to be up for whatever the NBA's Nobel Peace Prize is. We'll move on. Fire Cell 2, Mike Malone ripping his Nuggets after another loss. Ripping his Nuggets. Sorry about that. Said he was embarrassed by their effort not getting back on the break and that they're a great talk team, but that's bull bleep. Don't tell me about it. Show me. Sarah, buy or sell coach speaking about his own team like that, especially after a loss in October.
I am completely buying it. 37 fast break points, and they were a winless team coming in. It doesn't matter what time of year. It's actually more important this time of year because you got to set a precedent early that you are not going to be here for that. And if he's looking at his guys and it's an effort issue, you get that early.
It's real.
Yeah, I agree. I think now's the time you set that tone, you set that precedent with your team. Hey, this is unacceptable. You can't go into anywhere, especially a winless Pelicans team, and play like that. They're young enough. I think Mike Malone knows his team well enough. He knows what he can do.
Kevin Blackstone. You know, just a few days ago, they were undefeated. Now they've lost a couple of games, including one on their home court, right? So, a lot of people have picked the Nuggets to be the team, the surprise team coming out the West. You can't be a surprise team losing like that.
Calling this team an all-talk team, Mina Kimes. Is that all right for a coach to do 5 games into the season?
Yeah, I mean, we're a great talk team here on Around the Horn, but I am buying his overall point, especially how bad they were in transition defense, which usually signifies a lack of effort, especially facing a Pels team that up to that point had not been nearly as good in transition.
Buy or sell three, Washington Buffalo Sunday. It'll be Dwayne Haskins' first career start, team announcing today. He's had two appearances off the bench. Kevin Blackstone, your account. What do you buy, what do you sell from the rookie?
Thanks. Wow, well, I think I'm going to buy the fact I need to get one of those Cleveland jerseys made out of the Washington colors with all the quarterbacks on it. 29th quarterback in the last 27 seasons. This is amazing. I just hope that he is prepared for this. I don't feel good for it about it. This is a lousy team, and the results may not be in his favor.
Well, let me go deeper there, Kevin. You hope that he's prepared for this. Do you believe there's so much conversation about the reps he's getting in practice? Do you believe he's prepared for this?
Well, he certainly wasn't prepared when he was tapped to go into these previous games where he didn't start. That was a bad look. And you just hope that the reps come through and the playbook is simplified enough for him to look.
Mina, can you jump in here and the preparation of Haskins?
Yeah, it's been horrible. I'm selling everything about this. The way they've handled his rookie season of, bringing him in games haphazard. Yes, finally he has time to prepare for this game. Oh, against one of the best pass defenses in the NFL. Compared to the Giants and how they've handled Daniel Jones, it's been an absolute disaster.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, I'm tempted to agree with Mina. I think they've mishandled this all along. But I will say, he's got such a bad taste in his mouth from the previous times that he's gone in when he hasn't allowed to get the preparation. So at least they're giving him a shot to start a game where he knows he's the one who's going to be in there. And thankfully for him, the Buffalo's defense just had a hiccup on the run side. So maybe if things get really bad, just hand it off, and hope that Buffalo's still struggling at that.
Gutierrez.
I mean, I'm buying his enthusiasm for one. Obviously, the rest of this team, it's been a disaster so far, but he can salvage himself. He can salvage the quarterback position for this organization, and he's not feeling bad about that 3-for-5 performance with an interception last week. I think, his attitude is right.
Okay. All right. Well, that counts for something. It's something you said, Mina, struck me as interesting, too. The Giants played Daniel Jones better, even though Jones was starting earlier, right? Theoretically, they gave Haskins more time, but since it was time as the number 3 quarterback, not in the depth chart, not getting reps in practice, this was mangled all along. All right. Well, I'm sure you think the scoring today was mangled all along, Mina, Israel. But it's the scoring we have. Sarah Spain, Kevin Blackstone. Sarah, are you going for 2 straight wins, or is this only count as 1 because yesterday Gardner Minshew won the show? Showdown next.
What are you talking about, Tony?
There's crispy, and then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Florida, Georgia, number 6 versus number 8. That's the week before the important rankings come out, but that's what they're ranked right now. Sarah Spain, Kevin Blackstone, welcome to Showdown. Sarah, is this an elimination game between Georgia and Florida?
Yeah, it's tough to see a two-loss team getting in, but I can't say that I'm psychic enough to know exactly what happens with the top teams going down, so you never know.
Oh, that's a great answer.
Well, go ahead. Yeah, it's definitely an elimination game, but it's mostly a concern for the Bulldogs, because I think if you're a Florida fan, you're just happy to be here.
I think this was an elimination topic, Sarah. Oh, man, this is going to kill your stats for the season. We'll move on. The bubonic plague. Again, I give all credit to Worldwide Wob. When the shot clock's running down, you give your teammate the ball at the last second to avoid picking up a turnover, though we've now found out, of course, this is a team turnover, not a personal turnover. Either way, Jackson Hayes caught that, and he caught Zion's elbow yesterday. So, KB, let me ask you this. Since we know it's a team turnover, not a personal turnover, is the bubonic plague lethal or curable?
It's lethal. It's not curable because you can't put a Harlem Globetrotters ball out there on a string, right, and give it to a guy and it bounces back. But you've got to be prepared as a rookie. You got to know this is coming. Come on.
First of all, this is curable. Once they all find out, it counts as a team turnover either way. Yeah. Why are you giving it to your boy? You're not getting the individual turnover.
Yeah, I agree with you. Statistically, since now everyone knows it's a team turnover, it doesn't hurt. But it still hurts a little bit. Because it still means your teammate's like, nope, you're the one who's getting it. It still hurts a little bit. We'll move on. Showdown 3, World Series trophy. Have you ever seen it before, Kevin Blackenstone? You're going to see it up close and personal this weekend. It got dinged up already on the flight back, clearly. And this week's parade, it's a Saturday parade for the Nationals. And Nationals have asked the Capitals for any good fountains. That's where the fountains are, because that's what the Stanley Cup did a few years ago. Sarah, what kind of shape will the World Series trophy be at the end of the weekend?
Well, you invoke the name of the Stanley Cup, and that is a trophy built to be drank out of and swum with. This World Series trophy is going to be trash. Those flags are way too fragile for the party.
Yeah, absolutely. But this is the problem when you invite hockey players to a baseball party. They're going to break up whatever trophy they see.
Ovechkin had
that thing for a hot minute. Can we get a new trophy anyway?
Baseball players would never break anything.
Won a new trophy already. Just won it.
They're
already over it.
All right, Sarah. It won't be as hurt as you could have been from the showdown. But Kevin Blackenstone deserves his championship. Washington gets another title.
I just want to say there's this notion going around that D.C. is not a baseball town after all these years, but we were a baseball town. We had a bad manager back in the 70s by the name of Bob Short, who absolutely wrecked his team and wrecked baseball for a generation and a half of people around here like me. We are a baseball team, a baseball town. We know how to celebrate. We know what to appreciate. Way to go,
Nationals.
Way to go, fans.
Hey, 72 and a half hour break. Daylight savings.